Good morning and welcome back to another episode of Sweet Tea, Southern Mama During Autism from A to Z, the podcast where I take you behind the scenes into the day-to-day life of navigating my son Cortland's journey with autism. Throughout this podcast, I have attempted to be as raw and as real as possible and not hold anything back, while also exploring the diverse world of neurodiversity and promoting empathy and understanding through the things that we deal with in our lives on a day-to-day basis. I'm your host, Cinnamon, and today we're going to discuss a crucial topic the importance of not antagonizing a child on the autism spectrum. There's so much I can say on this topic because we just recently experienced this not less than 24 hours ago, but I want to come on today and I want to educate people. I want to take the anger out of what I'm feeling at the moment and the hurt and the betrayal that I feel and the trust that has been lost. And I just want to take this opportunity to educate. I'm going to be honest before I get into it. I have started this recording over and over again. And at some point, God told me to stop. And he told me to pause and he told me to breathe, because I can let the anger come out in this podcast and it can miss the whole mark of the point of trying to educate individuals on why it is important not to antagonize a child on the autism spectrum. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and get started. But before we dive into the discussion, let's take a moment to understand what it means to be on the autism spectrum. Autism spectrum disorder is a developmental disorder that affects communication, social interaction, and behavior. Each person on the spectrum is unique with their own strengths and challenges. It is important for us to recognize and respect RESPECT, these differences to create an inclusive and supportive environment for individuals with autism. Again, it is important for us to recognize and respect these differences to create an inclusive and supportive environment for individuals with autism. Okay, so now that you have an understanding of what autism spectrum disorder is, let's dive in a little more. And now we're going to address the issue of antagonizing children on the autism spectrum. One of the fundamental aspects of supporting individuals with ASD is understanding and accommodating their unique way of processing information. Many children on the spectrum have difficulty with social cues. I'll say that again. Many children on the spectrum have difficulty with social cues, abstract language, and interpreting nonverbal communication. Consequently, they may struggle to understand mixed signals or sudden changes in expectations. So when you are playing with a kid that's on the spectrum and you're laughing and you're hee-heeing and you're ha-haing at what they're doing, but after they do it for the 15th time and you become agitated with them, you have to be careful. That is what this is saying. We'll move in further. So it is crucial for all parents, caregivers, and educators to avoid sending mixed signals to children on the autism spectrum. And not just parents and caregivers or educators, it's crucial for everyone that is a part of that child's life to be careful to avoid sending mixed signals to that child that's on the spectrum. We're going to discuss why this is important. When a child is allowed to play and act silly without indication that it is inappropriate, they may perceive it is acceptable behavior in all contexts. However, if they are then suddenly scolded or yelled at for the same behavior, it can become extremely confusing and distressing for them. So, Imagine being in the situation where you feel like you're following the rules and behaving appropriately, only to be reprimanded without any clear explanation. This inconsistency can lead to frustration, anxiety, a breakdown of trust between the child and the adults in their lives. But by continuing to provide clear and consistent expectations, we can help the children on the autism spectrum feel more secure and supported. Okay, a little backstory. Yesterday, I'm not really sure what happened because I was in another room talking to some other individuals, and I promised I wasn't going to share this part on the podcast, but I have to give you the backstory so that you understand why I'm coming to you and trying to educate you on this topic. All day, Cortland had been playing, you know, running through the house, doing what he does because this is his space and this is where he feels comfortable. And, you know, certain things he was doing, some older adults that were here were laughing and they thought it was cute, a kiki, a ha ha. But again, after about the 15th time of him doing it, they began to get agitated with him and they began to yell at him. And the yelling was coming from all directions. No one allowed me to step in as his parent and try to redirect him. So when you have 15 people, and I'm exaggerating, it wasn't 15, but in his mind, it could have been 15. When you have 15 people barking out orders to you at one time, it can be overwhelming and it can be overstimulated and it can cause you to go into a complete meltdown. And that is exactly what happened. And once he's gone into complete meltdown, it is hard to bring him back from that. You just have to let him go through it, no matter how loud it is, no matter how destructive it gets. You just have to allow him to go through it. And that's what I do, because I take the time to learn and to educate myself. And I thought I had taken the time to learn and educate other people, but people hear what they want to hear and they do what they want to do. They want to yell at kids because that's the way they were brought up, but you can't yell at a child that's on the autism spectrum. And we as parents who have children that have autism aren't making this up, or we're not just trying to say our child is sensitive. There are ways that you have to deal with and communicate with them because they simply process things differently than we do. So how we can ensure that we're not antagonizing children on the autism spectrum are through these following strategies that I have learned over the years through going to his therapy and just being his mom and just from my own research and also in the work that I currently do. Is one, we have to have open communication with them. We have to simply foster the lines of communication with the child in their support network. We have to encourage other individuals that are in their lives. And by doing that, we share information on the child's specific behaviors, triggers, and their preferences. And this will help everyone that's involved with them better understand and support them. And y'all, I've done this. I've really done this. I have taught that this certain trigger will lead to this certain behavior, but your consequence has to also be the same in order for that learned behavior to kind of not show or happen. I'm not saying that it's never going to happen or it's never going to show, because I would be dumb or I would be silly to think that. Okay, but your communication has to be clear. It has to be, you know, it has to be clear on the parents' end, and it has to be clear so that they understand how to work or how to help the child when they're getting there. But first, you have to start with knowing that it's not okay to antagonize said child. The other thing is the consistency. We have to maintain our consistency across all rules and expectations from different environments that we're in. That's at home, that's out in public, that's in school, that's at someone's house. Everything has to be the same because our children thrive off routine and consistency. Once that routine and consistency is gone out of the window, then you're pretty much back at square one and you're building that foundation again. You're having to redraft that blueprint that you've already, you know, finalized, and, you know, you're working towards building something better for the child and helping them navigate their emotions and their feelings and everything. The other thing that I like to add in is that sometimes we use visual supports, social stories or visual cues to help, you know, Cortland understand his routines and the expectations of individuals. And when I mean, you know, visual cues, I don't mean staring him down or, you know, giving him a look or, you know, how you give somebody a look or how you stare your child down, because it's going to be misinterpreted because he doesn't understand it. Doesn't understand it at all. But so visual aids can be especially effective for children on the autism spectrum as they provide a concrete and predictable framework. And I know this may sound like a lot of work and just something that you want to avoid, but trust me, it is something that is needed. It is something that works. Because in order to fully understand what my baby goes through or what any child on the spectrum goes through, you have to want to educate yourselves and you have to want to put in the work. You simply have to. The last thing I leave you with before I end this podcast, because I find myself getting all worked up again and I don't want to start crying on here, and that's about where I'm about to go, because this incident is not 24 hours old and it just still has me so angry and so mad. Remember, when we avoid antagonizing children on the autism spectrum, we create an environment where they can thrive. By providing clear and consistent guidance, we empower them to navigate the world with confidence and build positive relationships, and to remain trustful in the adults that they love and care about so much. Now, will Cortland feel some type of way today if he were to see these same adults again? Will he pull away from them, not engage with them, not want to be around them? No. Although his heart was broken last night and he was truly upset, he'll go back to still loving them, because that's what he does. He loves them. But I will put this out. Leave my child alone. Do not call his name over and over again. Do not repeat the same thing to him over and over again. If Cortland is in his world, if he's playing on his video game, if he's playing on his phone, if he's drawing in his sketchbook, if he's not bothering you, leave him alone. Leave him alone. And just let him be. Because once you wake him up and you start playing with him and giggling, ha 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 this and ha ha that, but then when you get aggravated and you get tired and you don't want to be bothered, that's sending him a mixed signal, and we simply cannot have that. Y'all have a good day.